Okay, so we'll just review a little bit and then finish up with the topic that we started last time, and then we'll continue into the next sort of subtopic. So what we were discussing last time is what kinds of maisim are subject to tanai. And in particular, we were discussing the Gemara in Ksuvos regarding chalitza, that the Gemara explains that according to one daya, the reason, and this is, I think, generally assumed to be true, the reason that chalitza, according to Rav Yochanan, there's no din of chalitza mudeis being psula, meaning a case of chalitza where your cholitz and the people say, do it all tonight, that she'll give you 200 zuz, and we paskin in that case that either way, even without the 200 zuz, it's still a good chalitza. I would bet, what about the fact that the cholitz was matil tonight, so that's not subject to tonight. Tonight doesn't work there, therefore the chalitza is chal anyway. Why is it subject to tonight? So the Gemara explains, because after all, we derive all of Tanaim from the, it sounds like we're, what the Gemara is saying, we derive the possibility of being Matil Tanai from Parsha of Negad Bnei Reuven, and there it was a Milsa de Isa B'Shlichus, so it has to be something which is Isa B'Shlichus. If it's less of B'Shlichus, like Chalitza, so then you can't have it, you can't be Matil Tanai. What's the connection between these? So both the Tosos there and the and other Rishonim with the Ravid, starting with the Ravid, they have two different formulations, but both of them agree that this that it is misvara. That, in other words, the fact that we require isa b'shlichus has to be something that makes a lot of sense, because this is something which everybody agrees to, even those who disagree on some of the other mishpatei atanaim, but they agree about this. And the reason that would be is because this one really does make a lot of sense. So what's the logic then? Why is it the case that we would say that that you need something which is isa b'shlichus? I should point out, I think I mentioned last week, the Ritva, who says that maybe it's a Hilchasa Gemira law. There's also the Tosos and Gittin, who talk of it as being something that you could figure out sort of just from the context, that most mitzvos are al-Yidei Shlichus. That's a very Talmud Tosos for a variety of different reasons. But most Rishonim say that this is something that's just rooted in logic, that makes a lot of sense. It's very reasonable that we should say this. What is the reasoning? So you have two different formulations. The Tosos formulation is that this is that something which is nitan l'shlichus, so that is an indication of its being kokach biyada, of it's something which you have a certain control over, so that it makes sense then that you'd also be able to be matil tanai. The formulation that you find in the Ravid and the Ramban following him is that the something which is not nitan l'shlichus, so that's something which has the maisa that's being done has a certain power, a certain strength, is literally what they call it. It's chazak, or it's alim. Well, it can't be suppressed. That kind of maisa, which cannot be sort of outsourced, is something which that itself is the way that the Torah wants it to be done, and or that itself is something the Torah sort of grants with the power to trigger the effect. And in that case, it's not the kind of thing you could be matal tanai upon. You can't suppress it. Either way, both of these formulations could be understood in different ways, but I think I mentioned last week, I do think that they probably could be both understood basically as reflecting the same issue, or at least as far as Tanai is concerned. As far as Shlichus is concerned, it could be that it's different understandings of Shlichus, maybe not. Either way, what are they saying? So the way that this is conventionally understood in Achronim is that, and this is maybe most famously associated with Rav Chaim, is that the idea is that what are we talking about when we say something, let's say, in Tosafot formulation is kokach biyado, that you're sholeid over it. What does that mean? We're referring to the idea that it is the person's himself, his das, his will, which is the agent of the status change here. It is he who it is initiating and is generating the status change, as opposed to something which the Torah initiates and generates. Right? It is the person via his legal, his will, that the Torah grants his will, his das, his ratzon, as something which is, as the author, so to speak, of this chalos. So the Torah does that, if it puts it at the within the person's sovereign power to will it, so then it's the case then that it's something that the person has a certain level of control over. He can, if you want, will it through a shliach. He can also be matil tanai upon it. Whereas if it's less of a shlichus, like chalitza, so it isn't that the person's, in that case, it's not that the person isn't authoring the chalos heter after chalitza, it's the Torah that does. The person does a maisa chalitza, and the Torah comes in as matir the isha and allows her to remarry. But it isn't the person himself who is authoring the chalos, so to speak, and that's indicated by his lack of ability to appoint a shliach. And likewise, therefore, he cannot be matil tonight. So the idea is, again, there's a different distinction between chalos idea Torah versus chalos idea Adam or idea Tasa Adam. That's the distinction. So last week I was just pointing out, I was just noting that if this is true, so then this is we have to, I think, deal with the question, meaning, let me clarify, meaning if this is the interpretation we're giving to this statement in the Rishonim, and contrary to what I said last week, I think it's clear you can, both of these formulations that you find in the Rishonim are consistent with this view. Meaning, if in the Tosfos view, what we're saying is he the one who is being koveya the chalos? That's what biyado means. Biyado is a question of his ability to author the chalos. And within the language of the Rishonim, like the Ravid and the Ramban, talk about it in terms of chozek ha-maisa versus the chushos ha-maisa, I think you would just say that what we're talking about here is the maisa as opposed to the person's das. Is it a matter, is it a function of just that act, in which case it's the Torah, the act itself is something which doesn't intend a certain chalos, so it's the Torah that's being kovei the chalos in response to that act. That's what it means when we say that an act is a certain stature, that it has a certain strength. So I think both of them are equally consistent with Rav Chaim, with the general form idea that you find in starting with Rav Chaim, or not starting with Rav Chaim, but most famously with Rav Chaim, that what we're referring to the shlita here, the control here that's relevant, is the referring to the question of whether or not it is the person who is authoring the chalos, as opposed to the Torah. But the issue that I was raising last week was just the fact that we have to look into the question that Rishonim mentioned, or the fact that they even raise the question, which is Naziris. Men Rishonim are bothered by the fact that Nazir is clearly Isa B'Tanai. You can be Matil Tanai on Kabbalah's Naziris, and yet, they assume it's not L'chora, there's no Shlichus B'Naziris. So how is that possible? So the answer, if you take the view, the conventional understanding of these Rishonim, Tosfos, and the, let's say the Ravid, the answer to this question should be obvious. Even if it's less of b'shlichus naziris, it's clear that what is the agent of the status change in the case of naziris? Where is the, you know, what's machil the chalos in that case? It's the person's das. The person wills himself to become a nazir. Right, he's being mekabel al atzmo status of naziris. So it's he who is authoring that chalos. It seems to be a general point regarding hafla, that a person in general in these cases is the one who is, through his das, perhaps das that is spoken out, but it's his das, which is authoring these chaluyos, here talking about his status as a nazir. So the answer should be simple. For whatever reason, naziris is less of a shlichus, it isn't the case that it reflects, that it's a simon, it's a function of the lack of that which is necessary for Tanai, namely that the person through his will, through his das, through his watson, is the author of the chalos, as opposed to the Torah simply being gozer, that this status change occurs. So that should be the answer, right? Nazirus is going to be anyway subject to Tanai, because there's no question in this case that it is the person who is authoring the chalos. And that may yet be the answer. That could be a way we can understand maybe some of the Rishonim. I mean, here you have two different answers within the Rishonim that basically say it's true, it's not nitan l'shlichus, but nonetheless. One of those is that which I have in the, I brought it down here, in the Shnigum Betzis, the name of Rabbeinu Azriel, who says that what's different, that here in Echinami, it's not isa b'shlichus and zirus. And yet, here, it doesn't matter, it's certainly going to be Isa B'Tanai. Why is that? Because Dafka, he says, Gabe Maisa B'Yadayim, Kigon Chalitza, Get, Kiddushin, Kinyan, Kigon Kinyan, Chalitza, Get, Kiddushin, V'Kleyotzi Behen, Dehasam V'Adayim, Yev Shalikai, Mai De'acher, Eli De'atzmo, Alim HaMaisa, V'Filu Lonis Chaim B'Tanai, Lonis Batal HaMaisa, V'Al Neder V'Naziris, De'in Tzarech Maisa B'Yadayim. So then he has an interesting sort of strain formulation, El Shi has here, V'Yishmor Me'atzmo, The truth is, this basic opinion is what you have in the Shantz. The basic idea is what you have in the Tosfos Shantz as well. The Rashi Shantz in Ksuvos says that seems to me that it's probably these probably are related because the words are very similar. But od nearly divadai gabi maisa nasi bedayin could go in kinyan or get or kedushin or kiyotz ben im ena maisa yachol sky my dishli yachol idea adam atzmo alim a maisa tvei v'lo yisbatlu al idea tonight. While maisa she'eno ela b'dibura ba'amo could go nazir lo alim ha'hu maisa kuli hai she'nechshavnu levatel hatnai avo b'she'enim sky mil ba'adam atzmo. The point being that when is it that you need something to be nitan l'shlichus? The process needs to be nitan l'shlichus in order for it to be considered something that you can be matil al tanai upon it. Only if you're talking about something which has a physical maisa associated with it. But if it's just something which is the b'dibur ba'ama, not. So one could explain that what does he mean? What does it mean? What's the idea here? The idea is that if something is chal b'dibur ba'ama b'amir b'vad, so it's clear that what is it. What is it that is the agent of that status change? It's not any certain maisa. I mean, dibur isn't that kind of thing generally. It's that creates a metzias, which a Torah would react to. It's pretty clear that when you're talking about dibur, so then really the dibur is just an expression of your will. And it's, in fact, your will, which is being koveya, which is authoring the chalos. That's patently obvious when you're dealing with cases of dinim that are chaluyos that are tluyim b'dibur ha'adam. So it's clear in that case that it's the person who's authoring the chalos just has to express his will. It's all he's doing, and then there's a chalos. So if that's true, so then in that case it's quite obvious that you're in the position to tailor when you want this to happen. You're after all the author of the whole thing entirely, as opposed to where it's a ma'aseh b'yadayim. So there, when you have a ma'aseh b'yadayim, so. The question of whether or not you're the author depends on whether or not it's something you can be, which is it nitan l'shlichus or not. Follow? That's how you could understand him. Likewise, you could perhaps understand the Ramban's answer to also be based on the same idea, although he points to a different characteristic of Nazir. But again, this is the other answer that you find in Rishonim. Basically acknowledging that Naziris is less of a b'shlichus, and yet explaining that anyway, it's still something which he said. But tonight, this is the Ramban that, again, I quoted here. In his Chidush Rav Basra, so he explains, he says, V'yesharim ki garmin mitanai b'yad b'negar b'ne ruvin hani mili keyotzi boshu tanai shebein adam l'chaveru. So therefore, that's not a problem because nazir is something which is beino levein atzmo. So one could explain this as well. The idea that he's suggesting is that that beino something which is beino levein atzmo. So that clearly he's the only, you could say, he's sort of the only player in town. He's the one who's then koveya. He's generating the chalos. It's something that he's authoring. In that case, it doesn't matter if it's isa b'shlichus. It's only when something is, you know, beino levein atzmo, beino levein acherim, when you could have said maybe he's not the one who's authoring this chalos. So maybe then you would need it to be nitam the shlichus. Except that I don't really think that meaning in terms of the Ramban, I don't know if that makes so much sense to assume that this is in fact what he's saying. It doesn't really seem that Beino Levein Atzmo versus Beino Levein Acherim is really a good sort of proxy to identify the cases which are obviously he's the author of the Chalos versus cases where he's not the author of the Chalos. As opposed to Dibor, which I think is much more likely or much more reasonable to say that that's exactly what that tracks. That tracks the question of when is it obvious that he's authoring the chalos versus when he's not. I'm not sure that Beino Levein Atzmo versus Beino Levein Acherim is really that at all. After all, you can have several cases where this would seem to not really be satisfactory. For instance, I'll just give you an example. Let's say Eschaivus Midas. Right, so that's Beino Levein Acherim. You're being Mechayiv yourself to Ploni Bitanai. So it's quite clear, at least in Rishonim, that Hischaivus Midas can work b'tanai, at the very least if you have some implement, you have something to help you, like, let's say, Hana or Kinyan, Ma'aseh Kinyan. This is how many Rishonim understand Arev, this is how they understand Ma'aseh Shemachin, Yoske Shemar Shoel, that it works through. It's not, you could have understood each of them differently, but many Rishonim cite one or the other, or both, as being as modeling the notion of ischavas midas, that a person can just simply be gomer mishabe nafshe and be mechayiv himself yesh me'ayin to a person that's even b'tanai, right? That's, both of those cases are b'tanai. The ariv is only if the lova doesn't pay. The shomer chinam's who's masnek ashol is only if the object gets broken. And that's a case of ischavas midas, which apparently works b'tanai. Now, it isn't clear, at least as far as I know, it isn't clear that Yitzchaibus is neat on the Shlichus. In fact, I very much doubt, according to several Achronim, that they would think it is. In which case, if we take the question then becomes, so why is that, how is that possible? So according to the answer of Rabbeinu Azriel, we understand very well. This is something which is a B'dibur Ba'ama. It's quite clear who is the author of the Chalos. It's not the Torah, it's me. I'm being Mechayiv myself. I'm generating a Chalos Chiyuv through my will. And it's will that I've expressed with Dibor, but it's through my will, and therefore there's no question here. You're able to be koveya because you're the biyado. It's you're the sholeit. So then I understand an answer for Rabbeinu Israel, but for the Ramban, it's not clear at all. It would seem that according to the Ramban, the question of whether or not a schaivus should work b'tanai should also depend on it should also depend on whether there's shlichus b'schaivus. And maybe you might say that it would prove that there is shlichus. That could be. But the point is that it doesn't seem. It's pretty clear that the feature that he picks up on is not obviously, something which relates primarily to the question of to what extent he's the author of the chalos. Okay, so that's any. So that's just one subject regarding the Ramban. Either way, it's clear that Men Rishonim did not answer this. Didn't answer it this way. They didn't just say, meaning whether or not the Rabbeinu Israel and the Tosafos Rashi Shantz do, maybe the Ramban does, but it's very clear that many others don't. That they don't answer, what's the question here? It doesn't need to be Nitan L'Shlichus because there's no Shaila that he's the author of the Chalos, so what's the problem? They don't say that. They argue in one way or another that Nazir too must be Isa B'Shlichus. Meaning, if it weren't for the fact that it was, if in fact you were to assume that it's less of a shlichus, you would have said that it's also less of a tanai. So, what happened to the what we were suggesting in terms of understanding it, the conventional understanding? So, one of two things. So, either we'll have to say that perhaps these are shown to believe that Kabbalas Nazirus isn't really a chalos, which is tliya b'da'at tosha adam, that a person generates this chalos, this status change. Maybe it's really just the person sort of says certain words with certain kavana, and the Torah is what comes and generates his status as a Nazir. I don't like it either. It's a major surprise to say that. And one wonders, I'm sorry?
It can't happen to just anybody. The person has to.
Yeah, so unless you say, that's just all a matter of when the Torah decides to sort of swoop in and initiate your status as a Nazir. But one wonders whether or not this would be true in other cases. For instance, let's say Nidarim. I mean, Nidarim, do they also require, let's say, being Isa b'shlichus for Tanai? Miri happens to think that it's explicit. Miri that he thinks there is shlichus b'nedarim, but if there isn't shlichus b'nedarim, so then it would seem, meaning there's no indication. Rishonim don't seem to be bothered by this. So it's likely that they felt that there is shlichus b'nedarim. Now, if that's true, and the truth is that there's a Gemara that. It's a machlokes and achron, but there's a Gemara that seems very, very clear. It says with regard to hafara that there might or may not be shlichus, but wouldn't be shlichus. The Gemara in Bavmatzia, I think, Tzadi Zayin, but there only wouldn't be if because of a pasuk or because some other reason. But in general, for the world in the Dharma, it would seem that shliach would be fine. Would we say the same thing? Nazir, maybe you could argue for Nazir, but is this true for all Nidarm, all of a flaw, in other words? What about Hefker? Hektish? If you assume, let's say, the famous Maharit, many think that would mean that there's no Tanai. That, meaning, and they're following this assumption. These two, L'chaora, these clearly would be Chaluyas Mikach Adam, Hefker, for sure. So it's hard to sort of see where this would go if it would say, the same question, could be asked regarding a number of different cases, and it's treated as a sort of the same kind of issue. So if you want to say Kabbalas and Zeros is not that kind of thing, it's really, you know, Halos HaTorah, so you might have to say it for the rest of these two. And that's just, it's surprising. Even if you accept that the garden is Zeros, which is already a major Chiddush, it's surprising to say it beyond that. The alternative, I think, is to say that perhaps we have to give a different explanation, not the sort of the conventional understanding, perhaps that the, not the conventional understanding of what Lesa B'Shlichta signifies, and Isa B'Shlichta signifies, perhaps the Shlita that we're referring to when we talk about something being Isa B'Shlichta and it's being called Kach B'Yado, isn't just, it isn't merely that it's the person's will, and his das, his ratzon, that's generating the chalos, as opposed to the Torah sort of simply setting it upon him in response to something that he was involved in. It's not just that it's the chalos that is ba'aydei dasa adam, that the person wills it, but also what Shlichus reflects is that he has some authority in sort of delineating what it is, how it is that this can come about. Maybe the person is the author of the chalos, but his the means by which he triggers that chalos is limited. He can't deviate from what the Torah defines as being the way that you do it. In other words, you can author this chalos, but it's got to be within a certain kind of way that you do it. I mean, we know this is true in, let's say, kinyanim. I mean, unless you say, well, let me clarify what I mean first. Even in cases where they're nitan l'tanai, kiddushin, gerushin, which are certainly subject to tanaim, and the idea being that it's the person who's generating a chalos, it's part of an act of his will, but it's not just something that he can will and will alone and that'll create it on its own, right? He can't just want to be married, and she can't just want to agree to be married. They have to do a ma'aseh kiddushin. There's certain objective ways that has to be done. So it's true that, let's say, the person is authoring the chalos kiddushin, the man and the woman, or in the case of gerushin, just the man, is authoring the chalos gerushin. And yet there's a way to do it. Kinyanim as well. I mean, there's a way to do kinyanim. And I know there's a chazanish who suggests that really it all works through pure gemiras das kinyanim. The only thing is the Torah, the chazal, kimlu chazal, that they sort of knew that it was via these maisim which a person really is gomer b'daito. I think it's a tremendous chiddush. And if you don't accept it, so then it's clear that even if we're dealing with something which the person, the Torah gives you the, you know, it's something that a person authors in a sense, but there might be a way he has to do it. He's got to author it via this medium, this mechanism. So maybe there are certain cases where there's that mechanism has a certain flexibility. You can control, you can tailor it somewhat, and then there's certain ones that you can't. So shlichus would be a good test case or a good limit test for what is something that the Torah allows you to sort of tailor in terms of how it's done versus what isn't. So even if you're the author of this chalos, but maybe it's just by this maisa, I think this works in both formulations, it would be this maisa specifically the Torah insisted upon as being that which, that the means by which you generate your chalos, right? Somebody who wills it has to will it and then do this maisa. So maybe that's what the Tosas are saying. That's what these Rishonim are saying. And then if that's true, so then what they're saying is, well, we know that in Naziris the person is authoring his status as a Nazir. That's clear. The question is the means by which that happens something which the Torah gives you a degree of shlita over, a degree of flexibility for? So you might have said, if it's not nitan l'shlichus, so the answer is no, and then it can't depend on Tanai either. Then you can't be matil tanai either. You have no control over generating the conditions that effectuate the naziris. Either meaning you need das, but the way that a person who has das needs to do it is through a certain dibur, and you can't really affect anything other than that. It can't work. And if you have that, it will work. So that's the question, and that's what the Rishonim are saying. No, it is nitan l'shlichus. Yeah.
So the difference between this new explanation of what we were saying before is that now your, you know, asiyas ha-maisa or your dibor is no longer just heichi timsa, but it's something actually driving the maisa.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, before we were explaining that the reason why it wasn't working out according to this explanation was that for what's
I mean the original conventional what
yeah,
I call
the original conventional way yeah. was that it's either totally you or it's totally the maisa and you're essentially just heichi timsa for this
yeah you could put it that you know you're just a condition that the Torah sort right. of meaning it happens to be that you're what's going on inside your mind is one of the conditions that the Torah says that in that case if something this goes on in your mind so then you have this chalos right like right. Yerusha is a person's death and maybe there's certain cases where a person's kavanah is involved right Yayush for instance where the Torah is koveya though The Torah generates this kalos.
Right. Seemingly you
so you would have to say that Nazirus is like that as well.
Right.
In order to make sense of these Rishonim that insisted that it has to be that it's Nitan L'Shlichus, you would have to say that if it weren't Nitan L'Shlichus, it would have said that Nazirus, or at least if, again, maybe we'll say, if it weren't for the fact that it was Nitan L'Shlichus, if it, let's say there happened to be that there was no Din of Shlichus by Nazirus, we would have said that it's, we would have understood it totally differently. Or maybe that's really how we should understand it, that it's just that it, the Torah simply goes around and sort of, person has in mind that says things like, I want to be Nazir, so the Torah then generates, and that Nazirus, the Torah makes you a Nazir. You'd have to say that in order to, you know, to be consistent with the conventional explanation, elaboration of this answer. Whereas for us, we don't have.
You need a higher level of das.
We haven't gotten to that, but
for the new explanation, because you're
no. I think as far as that meaning, as opposed to the old explanation.
Yeah, the old explanation is more of just an eye as opposed to a driving force behind the eyes.
No, I think the older explanation is saying that if it's less of a shlichus. So that must mean that it's something that you're not authoring at all. You're not authoring the chalos. Whereas what I'm saying now is it doesn't have to mean that. It could mean that even if you were the one who's authoring the chalos, but it means that you're not in control of exactly, you know, tinkering with how it is that you can do that. That's what I'm saying. Follow?
Yeah.
All right, so that's just something that I wanted to finish up with. Derech Agav, something which I didn't really discuss, but just wanted to mention that the issue of Tanai Mitzvos is something that comes up, and it's actually in Yonah Dioma a little bit. The Beis Yosef quotes the famous Abu Dra'ah, citing the Machzor Vitri, that enables you to be, that says you can be Tola, that in the case where there's a situation of Sefirot HaOmer, where there's a better time to count, and this is an earlier time, which is maybe Yotze, but not the ideal. So he says you could do it al Tanai. The Avodram quoted him, citing the Maaser Vitri, saying that you could do this al Tanai. And it seems like the Shulchan Aruch probably paskins it, although there's some issue of that, some question regarding there. Whereas others, and the Rama as well, whereas others think that doesn't make so much sense. It can't have Tanai mitzvahs. The Onegumtiv is one of those, Achronim, who challenges the whole notion. And he does that in part because he says, after all, it's less of a b'shlichus. The mitzvah of Sefirot HaOmer is not less of a b'shlichus. Mitzvahs in general are less of a b'shlichus. So how could it be that you have the ability to be matil or tanai? So the truth is that the other question that he mentions, the Oni Gantiv, I think is the even stronger one, which is that we're not dealing here with something which you're authoring a chalos, a status change of any sort. You're just dealing with whether or not you're going to say a mitzvah. That's not something. That's certainly not something that you're authoring control of. And this, I don't know that any other understanding helps either. So that's an issue. But as far as just the question of isav or less of b'shichlis, so both the Ramban is cited, I forgot by whom, by many, as explaining, no, you don't need isav b'shichlis if you're talking about something which is beinu levein atzmo. So mitzvahs in general are just beinu levein atzmo, and therefore you wouldn't need it then. I would add that Rabbeinu Azriel is also one that would explain Sefirot HaOmer, right? That Sefirot HaOmer is something which is dibur. So if you don't, I don't think it makes so much sense with how we were explaining the idea of dibur, but forgetting how we explained it, just the fact that he says if it's the dibur, then it's probably not the kind of thing which you can't be. It's not the kind of thing that needs to be subject to shlichus. But there would be a clear nafkamina, though, which is mitzvos which weren't b'dibur. Let's say, for instance, this is Anyana de Yoma Achilas Afikom, right? The Tanai of the Avni Nezer, that is rooted in the assumption that you can stipulate whether or not you're, that if, let's say, we pass in a certain shita, then this will be considered Achilas Afikom. And if we pass in another shita, it should just be part of the meal, right? So that's the mitzvah idea Maisa. So the Ramban might be helpful for that, but the Rabbeinu Azriel would not. Okay. Just as a derech agav, I'm not going to get into time mitzvahs. All right, so now what I want to discuss is the next point, which has to do with the nature of Tanai as a chiddush, something that we needed the Torah to tell us about, and specifically through the context. We're going to explore this through the context of the issue, the question of what happens to the maisa in the event that, let's say, it's either a milsa de lesa b'shlichus, or if it's a milsa de isa b'shlichus, but you needed to formulate the Tanai in a certain way, which you did, right? You failed in your, you just, you were, your matil Tanai, which wasn't effective. So what we see from the Gemara that we've been discussing, the Gemara in Ksuvos, what we see is that the din of somebody who's matil tnai, the milsa de lesa b'shlichus, where we say that the tnai isn't operative, that you have no ability to be matil tnai, so what was the halacha? That the chalitza is chal, the mice is kaya. And this really isn't very self-evident at all. After all, we know Rabbi Yochanan requires kavana, right? Rabbi Yochanan rejects Reish Lakish, who thinks that we're talking about a case of chalitza muteis, could be a case where you think that this is a method of being konis. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you need to have kavanas chalitza. Both of you need kavanas chalitza. So Rabbi Yochanan requires kavana. And yet, so one could have said that, well, if he requires kavana, and then I'm only mechavin in the case, let's say, of chalitza, I'm only mechavin latira, in the event that, right, in the situation in which she gives me $200, then I'm being mechavin latira, but if she isn't going to give me $200, then I have no kavana latira, I have no kavana lachlotzla. So one could have said that this constitutes a lack of kavana in the scenario in which she doesn't fulfill the condition. And the question would be, why should that be chal anyway? So the truth is that Rishonim don't really mention this point explicitly, except for the Rosh, which we'll get to. But many do address a question that you might understand as being essentially the same principle, and maybe even more mechudash case, which is the case of a din, somebody who's matil tnai, the milsa di isa b'shlichus, but shelo kel chasa. The case of, in other words, a case where, let's say, you're dealing with something which is subject to tnai, but you formulated the Tanai Shalok Mishpat Tanaim when it needed the Mishpat Tanaim. So the Mishpat Tanaim, mentioned it briefly, but we'll get to them collectively and also individually over time. But Big Adol Mishpat Tanaim, which are likely derived from the Parsha of Negad Bnei Reuven, concerned mostly have to do with their dinim having to do with how it is that one has to formulate the Tanai. But then there are also a few that have to do not so much with how you formulate it, but rather just what kind of content, what can be the content of Tanai? What can be the Tanai? What can you say Tanai? What can you make as a condition? But with respect to all of them, there's a certain pattern that emerges from the Gemara that wherever you have a requirement to say it, to follow that Mishpatei Tanai, that rule, and you fail to, so the din is going to be the Maisakaya. Right? So for instance, we have in the Tosefta, in our parak, that if somebody who's one of the Mishpatei Tanaim, somebody who's Masna Masha Kasa B'Torah, right, you make a Tanai which goes against, which somehow involves violation of something the Torah says. So we assume that Masna Masha Kasa B'Torah is not a good Tanai. So the halacha, so what's the halacha there? So that says that if you say Amanash Einlach Alai, you Merkadesh Nisha Amanash Einlach Alai Sheir Ksus Veona, so we say that the Tanai is Batal V'Harizim Mugudeshes. Harizim Mugudeshes is not Batal. That's what the Tosefta says, and that's what the Gemara Ksuvos cites as well. Tanya Omer Liisha. This is Gemara Ksuvos Nun Vav Menalav. Ha Omer Liisha Harei Mugudeshes Li Amanash Einlach Alai Sheir Ksus Veona. Harizim Mugudeshes for Tanai Batal. All right. So then the Gemara gets to the Seb Machokas. But the point is that if we assume that you need, that this is a violation of Masa Mashakas of Torah, which you need to, the Tanai needs to be, not Masa Mashakas of Torah, but then the halacha would be, where you violate this principle that, okay, so there's no Tanai, and the Mice is Kai. And this isn't just Masa Mashakas of Torah, this is true for the whole array of Mishpatei Tanai. The Gemara in Gittin on Ayin Hey, Amad Aleph, spanning Ayin Hey and Aleph on Ayin Hey Amad Beis, discusses several other of the Mishpatei Tanaim, Tanai Kaful, for instance, where the Mishnah says that the consequence of failing to, the Gemara says rather, that the consequence of failing to stipulate your Tanai in the way that it needs to be Mishpatei Tanaim is that it's going to be Megureshes in any event, even without the Kiyum HaTanai. Right, so the Gemara there was discussing Hareza Gitech Va'Anir Shali, or Hareza Gitech Amanashe Tachziri Li Esanir, under the assumption that this is a Tanai Umaisa B'davar Echad. I'm sorry, before you get there, so the Gemara says that in the case of Harei Mugudeshesli Amanas Shetachzirli Esaniyar, so that goes through, that's a Gershin, regardless of whether or not there's Hachzara Saniyar. Why? So the Gemara explains, because we're dealing here with Rabbi Meir, who requires Tanai Kaful, so that if you require Tanai Kaful and you fail to be Kofel, then the consequence will be that the Gershon is chal regardless. The Gemara gives other reasons why, other Mishmar de Tanaim, maybe because Tanai isn't called Lamaisa, maybe because it's Tanai Maisa B'Devar Echad. In all these cases, all these reasoning, all these principles, failing them, if you need Maisa B'Devar, Tanai Maisa B'Devar Acher, and you fail to do it, so then the consequence will be that there's no Tanai, the Maisa is Kayim. There's no Tanai because there's no Failus of Tanai, the Maisa is Kayim. So in all the cases where you fail to follow and format your Tanai, Mishmar de Tanaim, where you need to be, so the consequence in all of them is that we say the Maisa is Kayin. And this, the Rishonim already point out, is very, very far from obvious. They already do raise and note explicitly that this is something which is a Chiddush, would seem that you could have thought otherwise. Tosos and Ksuvos and Nunvav asks Vitema and Kain. So granted, let's say they were dealing with the question, with the issue of Masa Mashal Katorah. Granted, Masa Mashal Katorah is not a valid Tanai. We understand that. But the consequence should be that that there's no kiddushin, right? The tema imkein amayim gudeshes harei hisn beferush shem lo yehela alav shirik sasona sheinim gudeshes. After all, the assumption seems to be, he's saying he doesn't want the kiddushin in the event that there's no shirik. There is shirik sasona. He only wants kiddushin if there's not going to be a chiyuv or responsibility for him to provide shirik sasona. So how could it be that we're going to say that there is kiddushin with Sherek Sasona, after all, he says, in that case, I don't want it. There's a lack of das for Kiddushin in that situation. Right? He simply doesn't enter into the Kiddushin with the assent in that situation. Right? And you can ask a similar question regarding all these, right? In the case of, let's say, he's not Kofal of Tanai. So granted, it's not a valid Tanai, just the way that Mishnah Tanai works, but he says that I'm going to do this only if you provide, you provide me with $200. Let's say I'll marry you only if you give me $1,000. So he doesn't want the kiddushin in the event that it seems evident that he doesn't want the kiddushin then if she's not providing him $500. How could it be that it'll be kiddushin in that case too? Isn't there a chisar on das here, right? So here you have two different answers that you find in Rishon. One. Is probably the most famous, which is introduces us to certain major, starting to introduce us to major yisodos regarding Tanai. is as follows. This is the answer of the Ri, who says, "V'omer Ri, de'i lav de'yafinon mitnai b'nei gadu v'nei ruvin, hava mina de'shum tanai enu mevatel samaisa, v'afilu lo yiskayim besof hamaisa, kayim. V'hasha de'yafinon mehasam de'mahani tanai levatel maisa." So what does he say at first? So he's saying at first that if not for the fact, if the parsha of Negar Bnei Reuven hadn't been written, so then we would have said, it would seem that this is what we should have said, that Tanayim can never be Mevatel L'maisa. Even if you, it doesn't matter how you formulate it. There's no Tanai that can be Mevatel L'maisa, and it'll always be Kayim, the Maisa will always be Kayim. Given that so, once we do in fact derive that there is the possibility of Tanayim from parsha of Negar Bnei Reuven, the Mahani Tanai about the Maisa, meaning the Davka Kisha'eno Masa Mashakasa B'Torah, Dumi Divinegar Bnei Ruvain Shalo Hisnu Mashakasa B'Torah. It has to be specifically just the way that the Torah says it in the context, in the way of Parsha Bnegar Bnei Ruvain, which in the case that Tosos is dealing with Anun Vav, means it has to be not a Masa Mashakasa Torah situation. The Rush, many other Rishonim quote this, they expand it to all of the Mishpatei Tanaim. So it has to be Lefish Rabbi Meir who requires Tanai Gufel, it's part of that as well. You need to be, just like the way the Torah says in order to implement the Chiddush Torah of Tanai. So what is this answer boiling down to? So this, again, this fundamental yisod regarding Tanai boils down to two separate propositions. The first of which itself can be considered composed of two different propositions. The first proposition is that the fact that Tanai can work, can suppress, can be valid and by its validity suppress the Maisa in the event that in the absence of the Kiyuma Tanai, in other words, the fact that a Tanai can preclude the Maisa from being chal in the event that the Tanai is unfulfilled, or in the event that the condition isn't met, that itself is a Chiddush HaTorah that we only know from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. One could have said, maybe not, maybe it's just something, Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, the story in the Torah, is just a story. It happens to illustrate principles that we would know anyway. This isn't a chiddush of the Torah. So the presumption here is that no, that is a chiddush. The fact that you can have the ma'isa be the tanai be mevatel is a chiddush. Now, really, that itself consists of two propositions as well. First of all, meaning the idea that this that the tanai be mevatel the ma'isa that's a chiddush Torah parsha b'nei gadol b'nei ravin. First of all, consists of the proposition that without the parsha of B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven, if we hadn't had it, we would have said something different than what we in fact do say. In other words, it would not be that it'll be chal if the Tanai was fulfilled, and it won't be chal if the Tanai is unfulfilled. Right? The fact that that's true, that the validity of the Maisa depends on whether or not the Tanai is Mekuyam, that is something that we would not have said if not for the fact that we have the Torah's parsha of B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven. The Torah's Mechadish there, B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven, A. And B, what we would have said in the absence of Parsha B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven is that the Maisa would be effective in any event. As opposed to saying, maybe we would have said that the Maisa will not be effective in any event. So that's the first proposition. Those two themselves, that first of all, without the Parsha of B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven, we would have said something different than what we do say. A. B, what we would have said is that the Tanai, that the Maisa will be Chal in any event, even if the condition isn't filled. So that's all the first proposition. And then the second proposition, in order to explain again why in the where your Masna, your Matil Tanai Shelo Kelchaso, the Maisa is Kayim regardless, the second proposition is that the Re is suggesting, if you can see, I think I somewhat helpfully broke it up into two, broke it up on the sheets. Right, there's the Beis here. Right, the second proposition, the second premise here is that in cases where Mishpatei Tanaim are required, at least, then without the formulation Kimishpatei Tanaim is necessary in order to access the Chiddush HaTorah. You need to stipulate the Mishpatei. Why is it that you? This is in a sense getting to the question which we'll spend a lot of time on, which is the function of Mishpatei Tanaim. But what we're saying, it seems like the Tosa is saying, is that the function of Mishpatei Tanaim here is to enable you to access the Chiddush HaTorah. Without Mishpatei Tanaim, you have no access to the Chiddush HaTorah of Parsha B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven. And why would that be something that would be necessary? So as we'll see when we get there, there's, I think, two different formulations in Rishonim for this, whether or not this is just sort of an Ein Lecha Bala Chiddusha, or there's sort of a reasoning to this Chiddush, but the reasoning really requires the Mishpatei Tanaim. It's just, substantively speaking, something which can only happen if you do it by Mishpatei Tanaim. So we'll get to that when we get to that. But in any event, if this is the answer, if we say this, then clearly I think we would also, as an aside, have an answer to the question of Chalitza, meaning Chalitza 2, this would explain as well. And indeed, the Rashi Yevamos notes that this would be the answer for Chalitza. Right? Why is it the Chalitza something which is less of a Shlichus? So there's no Tanai. So even in the absence of Kima Tanai, I'm sorry, even in the absence of Kima Tanai, but Milsad al Sabashikhus will say the Mais is Kayim. Why? Because the whole ability to be Matil Tanai is a Chiddush. And if it doesn't apply here, so then the Mais is going to be Kayim. Now, this answer requires much analysis. And as I said, the second premise we'll get to, meaning the premise that the Mishpatei Tanaim are required, their function is, in order to enable you to access that Chiddush HaTorah. So that we'll discuss separately when we discuss the need for and the function of Mishpatei Tanaim. But regarding the first premise, we can discuss that a little bit here. Again, that itself consists of the two propositions. One, that the Tanai is a Chiddush HaTorah from B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven. And we don't simply say that we know it anyway. I mean, this B'nei Gad or B'nei Reuven is just a story involving principles that were known, that we know. No, that's not true. It's a Chiddush HaTorah from that Parsha. And the Chiddush is that we would have otherwise said that the Maisa is Kayim in any event. Regardless. Now, why should that latter point be true? Meaning, why should proposition B be true? That let's say, granted the din would have been different without the parsha of B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. But why does it make sense to say that the din should have been that it'll be chal mikol makom? How do we get around what was the answer to the original question? Right, this is essentially the question that we could ask. Meaning, why is it the case that had it not been for the, you need a whole chiddush, you need the Torah's chiddush in order to tell you that there won't be kiddushin in the case where the Tanai is unfulfilled. Why should there be kiddushin? How could there be kiddushin? You had no das the kiddushin in that situation. So here, it isn't obvious what the answer is, yeah?
It's like a umdana essentially, that Meaning like,
so okay,
is that if we didn't have a chiddush of bittul, then okay, you're saying all these things, but like, is the extra $200 really the reason why you want to marry her? Or mean the question's better by Sherek Svesvona.
Well,
Sherek Svesvona, that's like a long meaning. Assuming this marriage is going to be permanent, and if you don't want to provide at all for her, then
right,
seemingly
it's a very different kind of relationship.
That seemingly would be like, you know, that's, you know, that's a very good kasha, because, you know.
Well, I think
how could it work if he doesn't have das to do those things?
Mm-hmm.
For like $200, then you could just say, okay, he's saying things.
But you could be matil tanai on any whole, you know, any number of things, and you'd have to say about all of them that we'll get to it. We'll get to that. But just before we get to that, I just wanted to point out that in Ginzei Hagrach, Lav Marbar Ravashi Chasimbe, I don't really know where this sefer came from and who wrote it, and there are things in there which I think, well, we'll get to, in the context of Tanaim, which I think you can see already in the have been printed in the new, redone Chiddush Hagrach HaShas, which I think there's no question, Lo Yatzmi Pi Rav Chaim. This is a bug up. I've had this a problem. We'll get to it when we get later on. But he has an interesting diuk from the Rush. The truth is, when I first saw it, I thought this is another thing that I thought, you know, was just sort of pulled out of thin air, not in the Rush. But the truth is, you sort of see what he's saying. Look, if you look at the Rush, so the Rush, in a context, is very important, which we'll get to when we come to the issue, to the nature of how Tanai works. Once you have the Chiddush Torah, what does Tanai actually do? So that's a very, this Rush is extremely important in that context. But just as far as the Rush sort of says the same Yisod. The Rush in his Chuvos. In Shudarash, Simon Laman Hey, Ostes, is he goes over the same Yisod that involving this first proposition, namely that the Tanai precludes the Maisa from being fulfilled, from being Chal in the event that it's that the Tanai is unfulfilled, is a Chiddush Torah. So the Rush, when he says this, says that mitnai b'nei gadu b'nei ruven yafinan shigesh koach b'tnai levatal maisa v'afim lo yiskayim atnai yiyya maisa kayim v'afilu ikafu l'tnai. So what does this line here mean when he says that mitnai b'nei gadu b'nei ruven yafinan shigesh koach b'tnai levatal maisa, that you have the ability to suppress a maisa, to have it be precluded? So that's where do we know that from? We only know that from the Chiddush Torah of b'nei gadu b'nei ruven. Then he says, "V'afim lo yiskayim etanai yiyah ma'isakayim." So what I really think the Rush means here is, you know, and because otherwise we would have said, you know, really we should say that even if there's no tanai, if there's no kiyum etanai, you still have the ma'isa bikayim. That's really what we should have said. I mean, we would have said. So that's how I interpreted it. But Rav Chaim, not Rav Chaim, cited in the name of Rav Chaim in the Ginzei Hagrach, Simin Tzadi Zayin, is the following reading of this: "V'afim lo yiskayim etanai yiyah kayim rutzal lomar shnei dvarim yafina mibnegar ben irvin." Aleph, I'm adding in the Aleph. Sheyesh koach b'tanai levatal ma'isa. Ubeiz shelufamim afim lo yiskayim b'tanai yet tanai batal v'maisa kayim. Where do we see that? I'm sorry. Why is it the case that you would that we say that in the event that the that we would say that wherever the tanai isn't done properly, or wherever Tanai isn't, there's no Chiddush Tanai, right? Wherever the Chiddush Tanai is not available or isn't implemented, so the fallback is that we say the Maisis Kayim regardless. That too is a Chiddush derived from Parshav Negaru B'nei Ruvin. That's how he interprets this line. V'afim lo yiskayim Tanai yeh Maisis Kayim. Now, I think that's not right, but it's in part just because I don't think it reads so well. Are you guys following this?
Yeah.
But in part also, if this were true...
You send the diak one more time?
What he's saying?
Yeah.
He's saying that, Dimitanai b'nei gadu b'nei ruven yafinan, two things. One, sheyesh koach b'tanai levatal maisa. And then two, v'afim lo yiskayim etanai yeh maisa kayam, in cases where, let's say you didn't format the tanai properly.
But if you...
So that's, you in other words, that in let me say, in other words...
If you did formulate it... Meaning,
then that's a Chiddush Tanai. But the Chiddush Tanai is A, both that you can be mevatel, that the Tanai works to suppress the Maisa, but B, that if you don't succeed in suppressing, it's going to be Chal regardless. That itself is a Chiddush. I think is what he's saying. Now, I don't know if that, I don't know how much that makes sense, but it doesn't really explain What? Chalitza. There's no chiddush of Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven regarding chalitza, right? So there should be, if this were true, if this were the basis for the din, let's say that when you stipulate a Tanai, let's say without a Tanai kaful, that the, it's a chiddush a Torah that generates, that tells us that in that case the mice is kayam. Right? If that's the case, so then where that whole parsha doesn't apply, we should say maisa batel. And we don't. In the case of chalitza, where the whole parsha doesn't apply, and presumably then both chidushim, the second chidush too, is sheim lo yiskayim etanai yeh maisa kayim, that also doesn't apply, and yet we find that it is kayim. So I don't think this is accurate. If this is what he's saying, it sounds to me what he's saying. Rather, what would we say here? Again, the question being, why is the second part of the first proposition, namely that without the Chiddush HaTorah of Tanai, we would have said that the Mice is Kayim regardless. Why is that true? Why should we say that? After all, doesn't he seem to have a lack of Das? Isn't there deficient Das for the Chalos in the event that the Tanai is unfulfilled? So I think the answer must be that apparently we don't assume that that's true. We do assume you have the necessary Das regardless. I think that the basic idea is that whatever hesitation or hedging you express when you say the Tanai, that you only want it in the event that, and if you don't, if it's not in that event, that then you don't want it, right? That sort of gets checked at the door when you undertake and execute the act for the purpose of effecting the chalos. In other words, when you do this act for the purpose of what it does, which is affects a certain chalos, so it's you might be saying that you only want that in certain cases, but we don't take that, that sort of gets, as I said, that sort of gets undermined by just the proceeding by your having undertaken the maisa itself for the purpose of affecting the chalos. And here, I think, just in terms of how to understand it, I think there are two ways we might take this. The first, and in a sense, simpler way to sort of understand it is perhaps the Maisa, what we understand here is that the Maisa sort of speaks out on its own regarding your Das. It broadcasts its own message, what's going on in your mind, that's contrary to what you said before. Right? Now, you're saying all these things, but your actions speak louder than words. You're proceeding to do the act, and you're doing it with purpose, with fully intending it to be effective, not necessarily when you're saying, but the point is that you're doing it as an act of kiddushin. So you're on the one hand, you're sort of just making sounds with your mouth, and you're telling us that, but what you're actually doing tells us a different story, right? So we really just think that you seem to just your das really is to just have it be chal. That's what you're doing. The maisa really suggests. You might say that listen, if you wanted it to be contingent, you could have made that be the case. Just wait till you find out one way or the other. But you don't wait until you find out. You just go ahead and you do it. So what that tells us is that, that really in terms of your das, this is that you're just sort of wanting. This could be understood, I think, as being consistent with both the formulation and the Ravid, that in general, the reason we say that if you mess up with the in that case, I might fail us tonight, that it'll be chal regardless is, right, that if it's not kafel, ain't no koach listor hanasila el bekaflo, she ain't davar arai mevatal maisa b'shato. It could be. What he means by that is davar arai, that you're, in terms of telling us what your das is, what you say is, that's just a sort of a fleeting thing. What you're actually doing speaks much louder than that. Likewise, I think this is also consistent with the formulation you have in the Ramban twice, both in the Sefer Eschus in Gittin and in his Kiddushin, in Kiddushin, in Daf Nun, where the Ramban says that Shlomo Tzila Rameh Tanai Kafel El B'Tol B'Das HaKever. It's an important point. In the context in which he's saying it's important, but what's more for us just now is what he explains. Sheyesh Lomar Gomer V'Nosein Al Safeku. In the event that you don't formulate it, the reason that you need to have Mishpatei Tanai, that's really what he's discussing. The reason you need Kfeilus Tanai in the case that he's discussing is because without it, you would have said Gomer V'Nosein Al Safek. And likewise, he says the same thing in his kiddushin. Yeshlomar kevan shegamar v'nasan asafek atanai ena rotzeh bibitul ma'isa shabel. So you might say that this is what we're understanding, and as we're reading your act as telling us that whatever hesitation you had, you're just going forward. So that's why we say that without the Chiddush HaTorah of Tanaim, you would have said, Maisakayim, isn't there a lack of das? No, there isn't. Because you're doing it. And you're doing it al safek. That's one way to take it. I think the more sort of radical way to view it, maybe, perhaps what we're saying is that in order to affect Kiddushin, it's sufficient that the person does the Maisa Kiddushin with the woman, with his will, that it affect Kiddushin in some situation. In other words, he's doing it for the purpose of affecting Kiddushin. Once you have the Maisa and you've undertaken it with that purpose in mind, so what you say can inhibit that because it's sort of irrelevant. And what I'm saying now is, perhaps we'll say, you know what, you really don't want it in that situation. It's just not a relevant point, though, the fact that you don't want it in that situation. Because if you do the act with having in mind that it'll be effective as an act of Kiddushin, which you do here because you want it to be effective in a certain situation, so then you're just not in control. You don't have the legal power to restrain when it is effective. It's just not something that's within your control. You know, the point of decision, you might say, is something which is subject to your will, but the point of decision is that which emerges at the time of the Maisa. So the difference here is I'm not saying that it tells us something about what you really want regardless of the Tanai, that you really do want it regardless of the Tanai. Maybe not. The point is you don't have the power to restrict the Maisa from being Chal in the event that the Tanai goes unfulfilled. All you need is Das, but you have the Das in as much as you've initiated the act and you've done it with the purpose of effecting Kiddushin. That already is enough. It doesn't need to be that you want it in every situation. You might say that it's sort of like, let's say I free an animal from his cage. I uncage an animal on the condition. I really only want to do this. I want to be doing this only on the assumption that I have and on the condition that he's not going to damage people. He's not going to damage property. So it could be that, you know, once he goes out, he goes and damages property. So in that sense, you never really wanted to free him, but you freed him in any event. What we're saying is that, you know, the legal act of willing the Kiddushin occurs with the Maisa Kiddushin here, where you want it to be effective in some situation, that's already legally willing it and effecting it, in which case, the fact that you sort of hoped and wished it was only going to be happening upon the fulfillment of the Tanai, we understand that, but it's just not legally relevant. Alright. So these are two different ways sort of understanding it. The basic idea, though, that these are sort of suggesting is that it is, in fact, a Chiddush HaTorah, that we would have said without this Chiddush HaTorah that the Maisa is Kayim regardless, because apparently the Das that you have is sufficient. And it's only based on the Chiddush HaTorah of Tanai, and for that to be implemented, you need the Mishpatei Tanai. The other Rishonim, though, say differently, and I guess we'll pick up, Rez Hashem, yeah, we'll pick up with that on Wednesday. Okay?
Quarter to six, right? 5:45.
Yeah. 5:45. Is that good for everybody?
Okay. I have a fight